flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
We've got a weekend with no football. It's weird. It's weird, and yet I'm okay with it. Well, no football unless you count the Pro Bowl games or whatever they are. Competitions, the skills contests. I watched a couple, I'm using my air quotations, highlights on social media. I don't know. Maybe some of you enjoy them. And if you do, I'm really happy for you. You won't have to go through any type of football withdrawal this weekend. If, in fact, you really do enjoy these competitions. And I guess there's something to be said for seeing these athletes in a different light. The one clip that I really enjoyed that I saw on Twix was the quiz competition. So for both the AFC and the NFC, I think it was Fred Warner of the Niners. And then, shoot, who was it? There was another guy for the AFC. I'll remember. Oh, it was Myles Garrett. So it was Myles Garrett and Fred Warner. And they were each answering questions, quizzes about other players in the league. So some nicknames. This player goes by blah, blah, blah. Others about records and, hey, this player has this record or had this number of catches this season, blah, blah, blah. So I was pretty impressed. I can imagine for each of those defensive players, they've had to go through scout. And so, but there were a couple of quizzes or quiz questions in there about this player won this award doing this. So, and then you were timed as well. So it was 5 questions in the span of 30 seconds. And there was Peyton Manning cheering on Myles Garrett as he was answering questions to try to earn some more points for the AFC. So I can understand why these guys like it. It's pretty laid back. I'm not sure it's made for TV, but it's pretty laid back. And it's definitely a different vibe when we think about NFL players and the intensity and what they go through, the maniacal work weeks. And that's when they have a regular work week as opposed to a week that's shortened by a Thursday game or a Monday game. Otherwise, though, I'm not sure how much of it I'll be watching. The NFL Network spends most of its weekend highlighting different Super Bowl games or Super Bowl moments. And I do appreciate these types of broadcasts because you get to walk down memory lane. At least for me, I can look back on these games and not have to think about covering them or about storylines, but I can so easily put myself in a position where I remember, oh yeah, I was talking about this, I was talking about that. So I probably will see some of NFL Network's Super Bowl coverage, kind of kick off Super Bowl week, get you a little nostalgic. Although right now they're showing highlights of Taylor Swift. So I don't think that's very far back. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, and we're glad to have you with us. Our final show of this work week, Thursday into Friday. One surprise guest and one not so much of a surprise guest, at least not to you. It'll be a surprise to me when he walks into the studio, but that's what he does. Boomer Esiason, former NFL MVP, will join us in the final hour of the show. And he normally, for most of my tenure here at the, well, now the Infinity Sports Network, he has joined us during Super Bowl week. But since he'll be in New Orleans and I will not be in New Orleans, he's going to walk in on Friday morning. So come the final hour
this
of the
show.
This
is Boomer Esiason.
And I don't know that he'll announce himself like that, but he doesn't usually let me know when. He texted me last night and gave me about this time. That means nothing. It just means he'll be here in the final hour.
Hi, I'm Boomer Esiason.
One time we were in the middle of a taped interview, or replaying a taped interview, I should say. It was final hour, and we were bringing back part of a conversation from earlier in the show. And he walked in and just sat down. This was unannounced. So we dumped out of the taped conversation and cut to live Boomer instead. It'll be easier to connect with him here than to try to set it up next week while he's in New Orleans. So
Boomer Esiason.
Yep, that's the one. He once accused me of sticking my finger up my nose and picking it, which never happened. So anyway, that Boomer Esiason will join us in the final hour, but we have a surprise and very special guest who will join us after the top of the hour. And I'm really excited always to have him on the show. He is a veteran. He is versatile. He is a guest who's been on the show multiple times before, but not recently. And so that's also special. I guess if you're trying to figure it out, it's critical. As I put on Twix at A-Law Radio, he, according to him, was self-described. He only gets recognized when he orders food at restaurants. So as he was once diagnosing his own level of fame / recognition, I don't know that he would say fame, he summarized it this way: I only get recognized when I order food at restaurants. I once got recognized because I was talking on the phone on a train platform. That was in Boston, I believe. So every now and then, the voice stands out. So this particular guest, you'll know him when you hear him because, yes, in fact, he does get recognized when he orders food at restaurants. So that's coming up inside of the hour. And then our final hour, Boomer will just wander on in whenever he has the time. He kind of fits it in between his pre-show responsibilities and getting makeup. That's Boomer. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. In honor of this upcoming week in which we have Super Bowl on our minds, we're looking back at the last 25 years of Super Bowls in which we've had some really terrific games. Which Super Bowl is the best since 2000? Which Super Bowl is your favorite since 2000 would be another way to describe it, or to phrase the question. So I will throw it up on our Facebook page, but you can find it now at Amy After Hours, or also on our show. Oh, that is our show, Twix, at Amy After Hours, or at A-Law Radio. And if you would like to respond via the phones, of course, Pete would love to talk to you. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. I feel as though the uproar over whatever perceived Kansas City favoritism there might be in the AFC Championship is fading just because it's stupid. But the Bills brass, Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean, had yet to meet with the media as part of their wrap-up to the season. And we heard from the players in the next couple days. Actually, James Cook did a podcast on Thursday, or maybe it was sometime earlier in the week, but it was just released and just went viral, if you will, on Thursday, in which he used a lot of choice language, so it's not even worth really playing it for you because there are so many words that have to be bleeped out that it's like the entire thing's redacted. But he essentially said bleep the conversation about the refs and bleep the refs' bleep calls. That's not why we lost. So that was his version, an X-rated version, if you will. Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott, they both sat in front of microphones on Thursday and they were giving their reaction to the two moments that people keep going back to in the AFC Championship. The two moments that some will tell you prove the game was rigged, or at the very least that the NFL favors the Chiefs. Again, stupid. But whatever. Everyone's entitled to their own opinions, I suppose. So Brandon Bean and Sean McDermott. We'll get to hear from them. Pretty interesting. Dennis Allen has a new gig. You may remember he took over, or he's been hired as the defensive coordinator, maybe bringing a veteran presence as a former head coach in the league. Not that long ago, he was fired by the Saints, but Ben Johnson has brought him on as the new DC in Chicago. And I think this is interesting for a couple of reasons. Number one, because he and Ben come from different paths, if you will. But the fact that they've connected in a way that their partnership could be beneficial, I think, is appealing. Ben doesn't have any head coaching experience at any level. He's not been a head coach. Dennis has and has been around the league a long time. Again, they come from two completely different perspectives. I think that's one way to ensure that you have all your bases covered, to mix my metaphors, to mix my sports. Because if you remember, and I always go back to this with Sean McVay, when he took over in LA, he hired Wade Phillips, who was decades older, but had a ton of experience in the NFL, kind of bridging the gap between the new and the old school. And I'm not saying Dennis Allen is completely old school. We're not talking about Wade Phillips, but we are talking about a guy who's been entrenched in a different way, whose experience has been decidedly different than Ben Johnson's. And I think that matters as Ben navigates what's all new. It's helpful to have Dennis Allen alongside. And so I wanted you to hear from Dennis Allen too. Also, I don't know when Bill Belichick stops doing interviews, but for now, even when he's dressed up in his suit and his Carolina blue tie, he still is keeping his commitments. And I dare say that's the reason. He may have a particular contract or a particular length of time. For instance, he may be committed to Sirius XM and Let's Go and the Pat McAfee show. I think he does some stuff with Peyton Manning as well. He may be committed to those things through Super Bowl. And despite the fact that he took the job with UNC, he still needs to fulfill that commitment, which I admire. There are a lot of coaches that probably wouldn't do that. It's not like he needs the money. So there are a lot of people that, you know, maybe wouldn't keep up with that. And in the meantime, I really enjoy hearing from him. But I was blown away by an exchange he had with McAfee. And it was really more of a monologue by Bill Belichick. He was talking about the premise is that as a coach or a player, you really don't want to watch the Super Bowl when you've come up short. When you had your shot, you blew it, and you've come up short. But here's what blew me away. That's not earth-shattering. I don't think that's a huge surprise. What blew me away is that he, without, I swear he didn't take a breath, without stopping to think about it or take a breath, Bill Belichick rattled off the transgressions, if you will, the mistakes of almost every single team and all of its significant moments in the playoffs so far. I mean, I'd have to refer to my notes. We knew the man was a mad scientist who's forgotten more football than most of us will ever know. But to hear him in the span of 90 seconds remember plays, the number of turnovers, moments that doomed these teams in the playoffs, it's impressive to hear. So actually, Pete and I do a show email, and we include some other peeps on it as well. I actually mentioned this to Pete. Pete, did you cut the Belichick, or did Ray cut the Belichick?
That would be Ray.
Okay. So Ray didn't get it because, yeah, it's fine. I'll go back. I'm going to roll on it in the back studio because I know exactly what I want. So he gave me a couple of short clips, but when you hear Belichick without blinking, without missing a beat, rattle off every single mistake that these other teams made to get to the point where we're left with just two teams in the postseason, you'll be blown away and you will understand why that mind needs a new challenge. And needs to be coaching. He can only do media for so long. He had to get back on the sidelines. Anyway, it'll just be for your entertainment purposes. Also, kind of funny, Rory McIlroy gets back on the PGA Tour and promptly has a hole in one. But that may be what he needs to do every week in order to bring golf fans back to the game. We'll explain coming up. Dwayne Wade with a major revelation about a health challenge he went through in 2023. And a couple of baseball notes as well. But coming up next, by now, you have seen the names, maybe the photos, maybe the ages of a bunch of members of the Skating Club of Boston. And it wasn't the only skating club that lost multiple members, skaters, coaches. The figure skating world is grieving tonight. And if you hadn't seen it, on top of the plane crash that claimed a couple of dozen members, when you include not just the skaters and the coaches, but their families, Dick Button also died on Thursday. Famed, legendary skater that represented the U.S. in multiple Olympics and highly decorated. He was still a part of the figure skating community. If I'm not mistaken, he was 95 and just passed away earlier on Thursday. The CEO of the Skating Club of Boston fought through his emotions to talk about the tragedy on Thursday. Boston is the host site for the World Championships, which are expected to proceed forward as planned in March. It's a relatively tight-knit community, even with skating clubs around the country, because there are only so many that proceed to the elite level. The training is extensive, and it puts you in a space where you're with fellow skaters and coaches, and so they know each other really well. And as you can imagine, that community has been rocked by what happened with that plane crash in the Potomac. I wanted you to hear from the CEO because he knows these young people. And as we go through the show, I do want to share their names, even their ages. They're little. As I mentioned on last night's show, some of these, they're babies. You see their pictures and you almost can't believe it. So I appreciate that Doug spoke out on Thursday, as hard as it was, but wanting to remember these victims and certainly honor them, even as they continue to work at the crash site on the bank of the Potomac. You can find me online at A-Law Radio and then also on our Facebook page. I look forward to connecting with you over the next few hours. Our phone number, 855-212-4227.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Thank you so much for joining us, our final show of the work week. And we were spending most of each hour on our last show talking about what happened in D.C., the mid-air plane helicopter collision. And there are more details that have come out in the last 24 hours. Investigation will be ongoing for a long time, but mostly the devastating aspect to it is that the operation by 7:30 on Thursday morning, 7:30 local time, it had been deemed a recovery instead of a rescue. The cold in the water, the impact of the plane and the helicopter, and the fact that after searching all night with boats and also helicopter flying low across the water with hundreds of first responders, both in the water and out at the individual wreck sites, they were unable to find anyone still alive. It's so hard to think about. I've tried not to, and yet I really can't avoid thinking about their final moments and how close they were to landing. I mean, the plane that was coming from Wichita was seconds away from being on the runway. And then the stories that you've heard today, that I've heard today, one man in Wichita threw a fit because his dog was too big to go on the flight. That's what they told him. He threw a fit because he missed the flight to DC. And obviously, hours later, can you imagine his reaction? The Russian coaches, they were world champion figure skaters turned coaches who'd lived here in the United States for 15 years working with young figure skaters here in America. Initially, the Russian reports were that their son, who competed in the U.S. Figure Skating Championships earlier this week, their 23-year-old son, who finished fourth in the men's senior category, he did not stay with them in Wichita, even though the initial Russian reports put him on the plane. He had actually returned on Monday. The emotions for that young man. He just lost both his parents, but could have been on the plane himself, along with the CEO of the Skating Club of Boston. Now, some of this audio is...
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+. And we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
a little rough. Well, I'll replace it for later in the show. But Doug Zegheib, he was also on that plane home on Monday after the figure skating championships had wrapped up in Wichita. And so he was talking about some of the individuals. We'll use his press conference throughout the show. But gutted, of course, brokenhearted, just thinking about entire families who were on that plane and young people, 11 years old, 13 years old, 14 years old. If you've seen their photos. And then over the course of the last, well, really overnight last night, but over the course of the daytime, not only connecting with members of the figure skating community, but also trying to figure out the truth. And I can't even imagine what that was like, too. I mentioned the erroneous Russian report that we got overnight, at least, that left one person off the plane. Glad that was an error. And then over the course of his comments, Doug did talk about some of the individual skaters and their special qualities. So I'm going to find that to make sure that we share that with you, because I think that's the most important thing is these are not just numbers. They're not just part of the larger group that was on this plane. No, they're people who are dearly missed, are being mourned, and to hear him talk about some of the young people was really special. Now, he said six members and associates of the skating club were killed in the crash, including a couple of teenagers. And their photos are out there. Gina Hahn and Spencer Lane. And their moms were also on the flight. So their moms had been with them while they were participating in this event and also taking place in this development camp. They were there on the plane too with their kiddos. And the coaches that we talked about, the Russian coaches, they were part of that Boston club as well. And as I mentioned, the world championships are supposed to take place in Boston in March. And they say that they will move forward with them and try to use that as a way to honor the people that they lost.
You rebuild over time. It's too soon to say, but obviously we have a hole in our coaching staff, a giant hole left by Vadim and Jenya. I'm not quite sure how we're going to fill that.
The Skating Club of Boston CEO, Doug Zegheib. And it's still the information being pieced together, but there were also posts that were put out, statements that were put out on social from the Philadelphia Skating Club that beloved members of its team were on the plane. The Maryland National Capitol Park and Planning Commission also announced that there was a 12-year-old youth figure skater from their region who was on the plane as well. Just devastating to think about. Kiddos of any age, really, but a large group of them. And Boston was part of it, but not the only one. I also saw a couple of other clubs that were included. You may have heard some of the other names of members of this particular club in Boston, like Nancy Kerrigan. She did a really emotional interview on Thursday. What a hole it leaves. And then to think about the fact that in 1961, there was a plane crash that claimed the entire U.S. figure skating team. So for those who were alive at the time, were part of it then, remember it, or lost someone, to have to go through it again is doubly devastating. And Doug mentioned that even as they were trying to get through all the information, the numbers were fluctuating. This person was on the plane. No, this person wasn't on the plane. And just the emotional roller coaster there. And we know there were posts from just kids themselves who were looking for their friends or wondering about their friends. And so now they had just the unimaginable process of honoring those that they've lost, but somehow also trying to move forward, which is, I always find, just the such a painful part of grieving. And yet at the same time, I talked about this after I lost my grandmother, time is both a blessing and a curse when you lose someone that you love or that's important to you, because time advances and thankfully offers some relief, dulling the grief as you move forward. And yet it takes you further away from the person or the people that you love. Yeah, there's just no easy way to walk through this.
I don't think we're ever going to forget them. That is certain. How we commemorate them here, we haven't gotten to that point to discuss, but we certainly will. Just definitely very important and well-loved members of our community.
So a lot of the names and their photos, even some videos, since they were a bunch of young people, there's lots of videos. TikTok, and seen some of the videos or the TV footage of them competing earlier this week. I just can't get over how little they were. And in general, a lot of figure skaters are slight, smaller, more like gymnasts. They just look like babies. They're so little. And then along with the figure skating component, you know, we're finding out more about the pilot and the first mate, the first officer. He was 28 years old. He was engaged to be married. The two flight attendants, a man and a woman, a white man, I think he was in his 50s, wife and kids, an African-American woman who was the other flight attendant who was a mama. And different friends or family members of other people on the plane. All right, so that's the part that just gutted me on Thursday as I was reading some of the reports and seeing people post about their loved ones. The list just gets longer and longer, and then you remember it's 64 people on that plane, 64 people. So yeah, the list is going to keep getting longer. It just keeps getting worse, it seems, the more that we find out. As for the soldiers on the Black Hawk helicopter, they've been identified as well. There's two men and a woman, a lot of flight experience, at least one in his 20s. Who had a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. As hard as it is, I always feel like it's important, so important, to put names and faces to these tragedies. I hope you'll take some time to look on social and to see some of their photos and even some of the videos, the tributes that people are posting about them. Thanks for joining us on this Thursday night. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Here's our latest sports update. And here's Peter Schwartz.
Infinity Sports Network. Sports Flash.
Our riddle sponsored by Progressive Insurance. What do your home and auto have in common? Progressive protects them both. It was an easy riddle. Learn more at progressive.com. We begin with the NBA. We'll start in Cleveland.
Davis by 6. Mitchell, no look, Mobley. Pow! Donovan with an all-star pass. And Mobley with a ferocious dunk.
That was Tim Alcorn with the call on Cavaliers Radio. Cavs over the Hawks, 137-115. The Cavs now 39-9. Now to Washington.
Koulibaly runs into Jackson Hayes and he blocks it. Here's LeBron to Vando. Slammed up.
John Ireland on Lakers Radio. Lakers over the Wizards, 134-96. LeBron James, 24 points and 11 assists. Elsewhere on the scoreboard, Blazers over the Magic, 119-90. Grizzlies, 120. Rockets, 119. And the T-Wolves over the Jazz, 138-113. The NBA All-Star Reserves were announced. In the East, Jaylen Brown, Pascal Siakam, Darius Garland, Evan Mobley, Cade Cunningham, Damian Lillard, and Tyler Hero. The West, Victor Wembanyama, Anthony Edwards, Anthony Davis, James Harden, Jaren Jackson Jr., Alperen Sengun, and Jalen Williams. College basketball in overtime. Nebraska over Illinois, 80-74. Memphis, 68. Tulane, 56. UCLA over Oregon, 78-52. Baseball, Max Scherzer has reportedly agreed on a one-year deal with the Blue Jays worth $15.5 million. NHL scoreboard, Kraken over the Sharks, 6-2. In overtime, Blue Jackets 2, Golden Knights 1. In overtime, Red Wings 3, Oilers 2. Flames over the Ducks, 4-1. East-West Shrine Game, East over the West, 25-0. I'm Peter Schwartz.
855-212-4227. That's the number to get in touch with us, the Infinity Sports Network. Give us a call, 855-212-4227. Is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I appreciate your posts, your responses at A Law Radio and also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. On our last show, I had the chance to check in with JP Shadrick, who's a senior reporter for the Jaguars and their radio networks. If you missed that conversation, we asked him about the reaction to Liam Cohen as the new head coach in Jacksonville and really what happened over the last year and a half. It's stunning to think about. The Jags were 8-3 and then fell off a cliff and really never recovered. And so we talked about that phenomenon with him and about how they get back on track. So that was posted on both our Twix, actually, I think it was on mine, at A Law Radio, as well as on our Facebook page. So we invite you to check that out. And when you do access the podcast, you'll find that it's an evergreen link. So you can use links to go to the individual files, hour one, hour two, hour three of a particular show, or obviously the interviews. We podcast all of those separately. And that's really important over Super Bowl week too, because we'll have more interviews than we typically do for those of you who have spent time with us during a Super Bowl week. It's not going to be like it was last year in Vegas, but that's okay. It really is okay. And so we will have the ability to share those interviews with you because they'll be in different like individual files, which is, as I say, really helpful. But you can use that same link all the time. You don't have to get a specific link for each day. Instead, it's an evergreen link to the podcast and you can use it. Just bookmark it or save it and you can always go back to it. But we usually do share a couple links per week, if not four or five links per week on both our Twix at AB After Hours, as well as our Facebook page. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. Haven't had a chance to put our show question up yet on Facebook, but in light of, or in lieu of, I should say, a poll where we ask you about game of the week here, we're giving you the option of telling us the best Super Bowl of the last 25 years. And funny enough, they're replaying highlights. I think it's right now, it appears to be Chiefs Super Bowl appearances from the last 6 years. But we can think back farther than that. And I have a couple of good answers. So 25 years, going back to 2000, if you will. 855-212-4227. Our friend Chicago Johnny is listening in Las Vegas. Hello.
Good morning, Amy. You know, first of all, I do not have any sports to talk to you about. I just wanted to let you know how proud I was of the way you handled the show yesterday. And you immediately took off your sports hat and you put on your reporter's hat. And you could hear the emotion through the radio that you've given on reporting on what has happened. And I was just so proud of you, the way that you handle yourself. And it really, made us feel good listening to how you do have emotions for what has happened. And we do feel sorry, mourn for all the people on American Airlines. But me, especially being a Marine veteran, losing our men and women in uniform, everything does hit home. Because no matter what United States uniform you're wearing, we are all on one of the same team, and we're all together. And when we lose someone in that uniform, we all mourn. So, but I just wanted to say how proud I was of the way you handled yourself. And I am very proud to not just call myself a fan, but be able to call myself a friend of yours, because I did get a chance to meet you personally. And I just wanted to thank you. That's all I wanted to do.
Well, I appreciate that. You, of course, don't have to thank me. It's really the only thing I know how to do in situations like these. I can't imagine that the listening audience, the vast majority, doesn't feel the exact same way that I do. And I know because of my journalism training, my reporter background, that's really the only thing I know how to do. It's just so hard to even care about sports in situations like these. And so I wonder sometimes if I'm giving it just the half-hearted effort. But being able to share what we know, especially in a situation like that where it's breaking news, I hope that that allows people to, you know, to recognize that we're keeping our eyes on it too, and that we care the same way.
Amy, you are the definition of a true reporter, whether it be sports or whether it be breaking news. You are the definition of a true reporter. So
I appreciate that.
I'm just very grateful and proud of you.
So thank you
again.
No, you're welcome. It's good to talk to you. Thank you so much for your phone call, Johnny.
Take care.
Let's talk to Jimmy, who's in Jacksonville. Jimmy, welcome to After Hours.
Hey, Amy, thanks for taking the call.
Of course.
That's a tough act to follow. But I appreciate you bringing up the Jaguars. We're usually the laughing stock or people coming down. But I was curious about your opinion on the hiring of Cohen. They just announced tonight that we brought in Anthony Kip O'Neill from the Packers. And do you think T-Law can still be him? Thank you.
Sure. I appreciate that. I do think that Liam present something different. And a lot of times that is what these franchises need, a change, a shift in focus or a new perspective, something fresh. There's really no way to know if it's going to result in wins. However, the fact that Shad Khan was willing to part ways with Trent Baalke, essentially reverse course, because he wanted Cohen that badly, certainly indicates that there was a special connection there. And I hope that means that there's more patience too. Now, something about Jacksonville is as much as the record this year was abysmal, and you go back to the second half of the 23 season, it really feels like they never recovered after losing. They were 8-3, and then they lost all but one of the games the rest of the way, maybe something along those lines. But they missed the playoffs, and I'm not sure they ever really got back on track after that. I don't know what happened with Doug Peterson, but I do know it's not always the coach's fault, but I do know they lost a lot of close games. So it tells me that they're not that far off. The defense needs what Liam Cohen suggested, which is savages. The defense needs more teeth. It needs more of that that instinct, that tenacity, that aggressiveness. And it seems as though that's what he's about as well. I dare say we could probably borrow the intensity of Dan Campbell with the whole biting kneecaps thing. But Cohen phrased it as savages, and they need that because they were soft. They were not able to protect leads, and then there wasn't much of a run game, and so they also really need to work on the offensive line for Trevor Lawrence's sake too, so he can stop getting hit and presumably stop getting injured. So I think if they start in the middle, meaning the offensive line, also the middle of their defense, and they work their way out. But they do have some stars. They've got some real quality players on the roster, so they're not starting from scratch, I guess is what I'm saying. And as long as Shad Khan gives them a little patience, allows Cohen some time, and he brings in the right people, I do think that Lawrence is still a very capable quarterback. And if he gets some other pieces around him, if the run game can be competent, you could see that offense put up some points. So I just don't think they're that far off. I think you're right. It's been kind of the punchline of the joke because in the NFL, because of how bad it's been the last year and a half. But I don't think they're that devoid of talent. Thank you for your phone call in Jacksonville, Jimmy. Good to talk to you. We'll see what happens with all of these new coaches. Even Ben Johnson is in a situation where he's walking in. I don't want to say blind because he knows the NFC North really well, but he's walking in and recognizing there is going to be a fairly steep learning curve. All right, coming up next, a surprise special guest to wrap up our work week. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.